vacancy, any problem with having elections. I have talked to Dr. Bitt, he felt the same way, he said, yep, you know, nobody has any problem with it, I think you should go on. Well, since the time that I talked to them at this morning till this afternoon, we got sent an email from the elections. And I think everybody of y'all has a copy. Although it's not on the agenda, we cannot discuss it. All I can tell you is that we are gonna have to make a decision by before the end of this week to whether we want to go ahead and postpone. Because what's gonna affect a lot of this is whether the governor go ahead and does a shelter in place. If he does that at any time between now and the elections, it's gonna affect what we do here. Because it's gonna affect whether people come out to vote. Do we let them come out to vote? Or do we tell them because there's a shelter in place, you are now breaking the law? Because it's a shelter in place. So that is something for us to consider. That's something for us to, we've got to come back and take action on that before the end of the week. So that it either means, I just talked to Veronica, Latrice said that she was ready with all the machines. She needed a decision from us. She's gonna call tomorrow to see if she needs it before the end of the week or if she can wait till Monday. Because it all comes back to the Open Meetings Act. Well, from what I read when I got this was that we still have to comply with the Open Meetings Act. That we still have to give 72 hours notice, that we still have to, either that or take it up in an emergency meeting, which means that we can do it under an hour or two notice. So that's gonna be totally up to y'all whether y'all wanna come back and do another emergency meeting or wait till Monday and have an amount of time. Because even if we do a special call meeting, it still has to be posted 72 hours before. The only way that we could take action on anything like this, like this would be to do it in an emergency. So that means coming back this week and doing it. You know, so anyway, that's just something for y'all to consider, something for y'all to read, and then let me know if y'all want to come back. All right, moving on with the first item on the agenda, that's regarding the mayor's declaration of local disaster, and I think second, third pages is what's on here. It is pretty much standard with what the county wrote, with what the state has written. There's nothing in there that's different other than just for us, it means the cancellation of, so number three, you know, the limiting gatherings, social gatherings to no more than 10 people, mandates the cancellation of all social gatherings where more than 10 people are thought that they might come together. You know, whether they come in a single room, like the community center, auditorium, stadium, indoor, outdoor. And I put Petersburg Community Center and or other confined indoor or outdoor space provided however it does not apply to office space like our city offices and residential buildings, your private homes. It does not apply to that. Grocery stores, gas stations, parks, banks, I just put the ones that apply to our city because right now that's all that applies. So long as the necessary precautions are maintained to reduce the transmission. We will also, I don't know about if anybody knows whether the restaurants are open.
These aren't.
The kitchen's just drive-through, ain't it?
Yeah, just drive-through. Okay. KK's this.
So they're adhering to that, so we don't have to go in and take action with them and say, hey.
Have we heard anything from hospitals, what they're doing?
I have not. Right now, it's all up to our health department, whatever they say goes for people here in town.
Yes.
That does food service.
Okay. But that goes to, there are only grocery stores.
Yeah.
So they can still, now they can limit the amount of people that go in there. They can say, okay, we're only allowing, I know there's some grocery allowing 10 people at a time. Once one comes out, then another one goes in. One comes out, the other one goes in. They have that option. Anything else? Let's see. It says that the limitations on the size of social gathering does not apply to places of worship, but all such places of worship are highly encouraged to voluntarily comply with the limitations provided in this declaration. I think most of our churches, local churches, have already gone to streaming their services online or other ways, other means of doing that. The others are just our legal Texas government codes, what it covers for us. Okay, so then number eight, that this declaration authorizes the city of Petersburg to take any actions necessary to promote health and suppress the COVID-19, including the quarantine of persons and regulating ingress and egress from the city of Petersburg. So we can limit the people that come into our town or the people that leave our town. So, you know, if they are quarantined, if somebody has been quarantined somewhere else, if they come in, they are sick from some out of town, or we have the authority to say, you can't come into our town. Okay? Same way, vice versa. Somebody else and tries to leave, we probably have the authority to say, you know, you need to stay home. You need a quarantine in your house. So the city of Petersburg and the mayor are authorized to use all available resources of the city reasonably necessary to comply with this declaration. That for all gatherings, it is strongly recommended that citizens adhere to the social distancing protocols established by the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. So that would be our CDC. That pursuant to 418.178 of the Texas Government Code, any person who knowingly or intentionally violates this declaration commits an offense punishable by a fine up to $1,000 or confinement in jail for a term that does not exceed 180 days. So then the next is just going to be the day that it takes effect. Do I have any questions, opinions regarding this? Anything y'all need to ask? As of right now, I don't think that we need to shelter in place. I know the governor has left that up to our local mayors, counties to do that. As of today, we have one confirmed case in Hale County. It was around the Edmondson area. There's 14 cases in Lubbock, 5 cases in Hockley, 1 in Terry, and 1 in Gaines. As of this morning, this week, I'm guessing it was sometime Sunday or Monday, Amarillo has had one death directly from the
They were from Vega.
And then one in Midland. So those are the numbers that we have gotten. I'm constantly getting updates from Erica McDowell. I don't know if you're getting the same things. She is our she's our regional coordinator, emergency management coordinator. I'm also getting updates from David Hipolito. He's our county management director. We fall under their jurisdiction. But he recommended that we as a city can go ahead and put in our own local disaster, because there's things that are unique to us. You know, we're smaller.
Mm-hmm.
We probably don't have, you know, the hairdressers, the tattoo parlors, and things like that. So it wouldn't necessarily affect them. So with that, we need to take action. And unless y'all have any opinions or y'all have comments that we need to make, I just need a promotion.
In motion, I make a motion that we accept the mayor's due declaration of the local disaster.
A motion has been made by Councilman Mullinax to ratify the local, the mayor's local decree for declaration of local disaster. Okay, seconded has been made by Councilwoman Horn. All those in favor? 5-0. Declaration carries. Okay, moving on to our second item, and this is just discussion action regarding our city office procedures. And Trenton, I assume you put this together for that reason, or is this for the EMS? Okay. Veronica, I'll let you speak to the office procedures.
So far, the only thing that we put in place right now is we have locked our doors. We've cut down our hours to keep less traffic flow in. We've notified people that do need to come in to call us beforehand to set that up with us to make sure that they're not showing any symptoms and just anything like that that's going to be, you know, coming up in these next couple of weeks. So really, all that we're asking for you guys to do is just to confirm that we have permission to do these set hours and these kind of precautions that we're taking just for our sake, because employees here at the city do have children at home, so we do have to think about that. But as far as anything else, I think we started, you know, pretty much ahead of time where it's not going to be affecting us too bad. So as long as we take these precautions for at least 2 weeks, I think we'll be sitting okay, and then we can go back to normal hours and, you know, our normal business. So just for now, we're just asking that we, for these 2 weeks, that, you know, the kids are out of school, that we set these kind of hours there in the city to reduce the traffic flow. Only have people call us for payment of water or, you know, set all that stuff on the phone.
Do we have any questions for Veronica regarding anything that happens in the office, the city office? Okay. We need a motion for that as well.
A motion to accept the, I guess, the new hours?
Yes, the office procedures.
Office procedures for the city hall.
Okay. Motion has been made by Councilwoman Marroquin to accept the new office procedure, city office procedures. It has been seconded by Councilman Porter. All those in favor?
Sorry.
5-0, motion carries.
I was reading.
I was wondering.
I'm sorry.
Okay, although this doesn't fall under an emergency, you know, deal, but I noticed that it was put on here, and this is, this I'll leave up to y'all. Is discussion action concerning pay raise for Easton Gutierrez of $500 for passing the state basic water wastewater exam and new tires for the public works truck.
The raise is on him. For Ron passing away, this is normally approved by him. That's why it's on here.
So you need action, did you say?
Yes, because we do need an action.
I move we accept that we
sure.
Accept the pay raise for Easton Gutierrez of $500.
I second it.
Okay, motion has been made by Councilman Porter to increase Easton's pay raise by $500 for passing the state basic wastewater exam, and then also the new tires for the public work. Is that just going to come out of our regular?
Okay, yeah, that's just the regular line item that we need to see, you know, the city manager's approval to go with this stuff.
Okay, and it has been seconded by Councilman Mullinax. All those in favor?
That's 500, I'm sorry. Is that annually, or is that 500?
No, annually.
Annually, that's a year.
Just one.
Okay, 5-0, motion carries. All right, moving on to item 4, and this is discussion concerning EMS COVID-19 procedures actions, employment of additional EMT, and an update from the EMS director, Trenton.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted everybody to know this situation is evolving constantly, and I just wanted to let everybody know also I'm on top of getting all the most current information and working with our local EMS companies and our regional directors at that level to get information spread out to the community and to you guys and to everybody as far as what's happening. And most importantly, I want to stress how deadly this virus is and how a lot of people have really underestimated it. And I do not want us to make the same mistake, so I put in some preparation procedures as such. We have implemented a procedural checkpoint before each employee enters the facility, checking for temperature and also going through a screening procedure. Sometimes this could be done remotely for certain volunteers. They can take their temperature and send me a picture of the thermometer. But there are things being put in place to safeguard us from either A, bringing the virus back from a call, or B, contracting the virus during a call. And with the numbers, the way they've been looking across the nation, there's no way to guess on what's going to happen. All we have to do is be prepared and do our best to prevent the spread of anything. This isn't the first virus that EMS has been scared with. We've faced a lot of things in the past, MRSA, C. diff, a plethora of things that we constantly guard ourselves against. But this one, unfortunately, is antibiotic resistant and doesn't have any way that medicine can fight it currently that we're aware of. Vaccines are being developed, but who knows what time they'll be ready. Here at a local level, I just wanted to encourage people. I sent the checklist. I don't know if we got that on the mailer or how we sent that out.
It's on the website and Instagram.
Excellent, excellent. Basically, that's a checklist that people can self-assess with. And recommendations at this point are if you're exhibiting flu-like symptoms to shelter in place. Only reason you want to leave is to seek medical attention. At this point, we're having a lot of information trickle down from our regional directors, our medical control officer, our medical director, Dr. Charles Addington. They've basically taken our infectious control book and thrown it out the window and rewritten a new one. And so we're all learning right now at a very, very fast rate. Just today alone, I got 6 different protocol changes that I'm implementing. And that has to do with how to assess a COVID patient, how to choose transport destination, also how to recommend sheltering in place and no transporting a patient. Deciding all those things as we arrive on scene, assessing whether or not we've got it, how we can deal with transporting. I've also implemented decontamination procedures by separating the driver's cab from the patient compartment, minimizing the risk to volunteers. That way they can get in the truck, they leave the station, get out the truck, when they get back, they never are exposed to anything except for the air in the cab. I've also put up a decontamination tent. That way that we can decontaminate all employees and equipment from head to toe back from any run that we get that could be possibly infectious. Now that there's confirmed in Hale County, I'm going to implement that on every run. So I wanted everybody to know that I'm doing everything that I know how to do and can do. I've been asking people that are smarter than me what to do. We've been coming together and everybody's really come together tight. Now I wanted to thank the fire department and the police department for helping with these and Nathan for volunteering to deal. But I've told everybody it's volunteer only. I'm not going to require anybody to go on these calls. But these guys have stood up and made it happen so that way we're still able to take care of our community. We are strong. We are a hardy community here. And I want everybody to know I'm here for you guys, whatever we need to do. I am learning at a staggering rate right now on how to react and act to this virus. We will know more information by the next council meeting. I'll have a better presentation set up for everybody. I wanted you to know initially that we do have procedures in place to protect everybody, as the community safety is my number one concern. And I'm going to take the information I get down from reliable sources, and I'm going to spread that around as I get it. This checklist was the first thing that I was issued from my regional directors. And as I get more, I'll extend that down. I've got a class scheduled for Thursday afternoon for an EMS focus group. It's a federal webinar series that they're giving to all EMS. And basically, that's going to extend our crisis standards of care. What's happening is they're extending the standards of care to adjust to the major influx of the people infected and the major drag on the resource of our local, state, and federal governments. What this is going to do is teach us what we've got to do with people that are critical with COVID. And I hope, pray that we do not come to that point in this community. And I think if we implement all these precautionary measures, that we can fight it in place. And that's what we're going to do. If it does come, we'll be ready. I just wanted everybody to know that's what's going on. share with other council members, please call me.
And I just want to remind everybody that I know I've been getting a lot of communications and a lot of directions as well. One thing that we need to keep in mind is that all of these patients that are coming down with COVID, if they are positive, if they are being tested, it's all covered under HIPAA. In other words, we cannot release their names, we cannot say who they are.
Yes, ma'am.
All we can say is that yes, there has been a confirmed case, or no, there hasn't, or yes, we're monitoring a case, or, you know, or cases.
And if anybody sees a leak like that on social media, please bring it to somebody's attention to have that removed immediately. I know it's impossible to control everything like that, but we do want to protect your privacy and safety.
It is against the law. It's under the HIPAA, and I just,
yes, ma'am.
I've read that 2 or 3 times already.
Yes, ma'am.
From all the notices that I've been getting from the state and from the local governments and our emergency management coordinator. So just keep that in mind as we proceed through the next few weeks. Like I said, I don't know what's going to happen. Right now, the governor is leaving it up to us locally to decide how we're going to proceed, whether we take it a step, you know, further and shelter in place. I don't feel like we're at that point right now. I don't think that, but I'm sure between Trenton and between our county, we will, if it comes to that, we will make that decision. We'll let everybody know. We may have to come back and ratify something like that. Any questions regarding anything? Any comments? Anything that y'all want to put in? Okay. So with that being said, it is 6:54, and I adjourn this meeting.
What's the school going to do? Have you heard?
The school right